Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. O Bull, you are offenseless and throughout honest. Therefore, I wish all good to you. Please tell me of the perpetrator of these mutilations which blackmail the reputation of the sons of Pritha. Purport. The reputation of the reign of Maharaj Ramachandra and that of the kings who followed in the footsteps of Maharaj Ramachandra, like the Pandavas and their descendants, are never to be forgotten, because in their kingdom, offenseless and honest living beings were never in trouble. The bull and the cow are the symbols of the most offenseless living beings, because even the stool and urine of these animals are utilized to benefit human society. The descendants of the sons of Pritha, like Maharaj Parikshit, were afraid of losing their reputations. But in the modern days, the leaders are not even afraid of killing such offenseless animals. Herein lies the difference between the reign of those pious kings and the modern states ruled by irresponsible executive heads without knowledge of the codes of God. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakayam Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Miti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, dear Vaishnavas. Before I start, I would like to seek the blessings, permission to speak and hopefully glorify Srimad Bhagavatam and the qualities and attributes of Vaishnavas. Vanchakalpaturupyascha, kripa sindubhya evacha, patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavyo namo nama anantakoti vaishnavrindaki. Hare Krishna. Let me ask you first to start with a question. How you get rich in this day and age?
Cheat.
Okay, Samuel is saying cheating is the way you get rich. Any other ways you can get rich? Mataji saying rob a bank. Okay. Any other ways you can get rich? Abhay Prabhu. Knowing the right people, that's the way you get rich. Okay. Any other takes? Seven habits of success. I don't know them. Yes. Rasaraj Prabhu?
Perform devotional service.
Perform devotional service. Really?
Yeah.
Does devotional service make you rich? Okay, that's worship Lord Shiva, worship the Lord, you will get rich. Okay, interesting, thank you. I take all of them. What about inheritance? What about inheriting wealth? If you read the purport, the reputation of the reign of Maharaj Ramachandra and that of the kings who followed in the footsteps of Maharaj Ramachandra, like the Pandavas and their descendants, are never to be forgotten, because in their kingdom, offenseless and honest living beings were never in trouble. So a few points which I was kind of observing in this purport is that the way you can get rich, and I checked actually the UK laws of how to inherit like property and money and all these different things. So I have some extra time before starting of this class. So how to inherit? So the first option is that person actually mentions you in his last will. That's the first way you can inherit. Basically, I'm very much simplifying it. those who studied, I don't know, law, they would start laughing at the way I'm presenting it, so please bear with me. And another way you can actually inherit something is that if you are somehow or another related to the person who actually leaves the property or leaves the money behind. So what does it mean for devotees to inherit something, right? And who we inherit it from, and what are the actually qualities to receive something of value from our predecessors. So as I mentioned, either you can be mentioned in the will of those great personalities which are leaving something behind. There were different personalities which have been approaching Srila Prabhupada when Prabhupada was reaching his, when he was finishing his earthly pastimes in his personal presence. From different sampradayas, they've been approaching Prabhupada and asking him, who is the next acharya who will take the mantle of leading this ISKCON after you? So basically, what is your will? What is the will after you depart? The answer of Srila Prabhupada was not a name. It was not a person. He said, all of those which are my true followers and those which follow the path of bhakti will inherit this Krishna consciousness, this wealth of Krishna consciousness. All of my disciples inherit ISKCON. So Prabhupada haven't established an acharya as such. Prabhupada haven't established one person who leads the whole world of ISKCON, a world of Krishna consciousness as we know. He said that anyone and everyone who founds himself following the rules, regulations, is qualified to inherit the wealth of Krishna consciousness. The second type of how we can inherit something is if we are related. And I think I already mentioned that. If you are related to Srila Prabhupada, and I'm not speaking through like official gotra or officially being as a family member of Srila Prabhupada, but we are part of spiritual family of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was many times referring to his disciples and as sons and daughters. Prabhupada was saying, well, before, this was the number of my family members, but look at me now. Now I have hundreds and now I have thousands of sons and daughters all around the globe. And as a loving father, Prabhupada was desiring for all of us that we take up this mantle, and his will was to follow regulative principles and follow the path of Krishna bhakti. And this is the true way how you can actually inherit something, how you can inherit the wealth of spirituality as presented by the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. Here is mentioned, the descendants of the sons of Pritha, like Maharaj Parikshit, were afraid of losing their reputations. So this is interesting, right? We come to Krishna consciousness in the day one, and what they say to us, you're not the body, you're a soul, you're not black, you're not white, you're not Asian, you're not like this, you're not like that. And what is reputation connected to? Reputation, most of the time in the worldly affairs, is connected to position, to status, to, position in the society. So respect, fame, status, and symbols of strength are somehow kind of material acquisitions. Subtle, but still material acquisitions. But what Prabhupada is saying here, that Maharaj Parikshit and the descendants, sons of Pritha, the Pandavas, they've been afraid of losing their reputations. So what does this mean? So what's the difference between losing material reputation or being asked to lose material reputation and gain spiritual reputation? I like to listen to these Prabhupada memories, and it was, I think, Shruta Kirti Prabhu. He had this very long video when he was traveling with Prabhupada for, I think, like over 2 years as a personal secretary, as a personal servant. And one interesting thing he said, that whenever Prabhupada step out of the plane, right, when you're flying for like, I don't know, 8, 10, 12 hours, somehow it gets uncomfortable to a certain degree, right? you need to kind of adjust yourself in the seat. So naturally, somehow your robes become not so neat. So whenever Prabhupada, when the flight was finished and when they've been going out from the plane, Prabhupada said, okay, he put fresh tilak. This is what Shruta Kirti Prabhu was saying. He put a fresh tilak, he put a fresh garland on himself. He adjusted himself, he put his uttariya in the right way. He kind of make himself presentable. You can ask yourself why a sadhu needs to look presentable. If you say in a term of a sadhu, that is someone who's got long dreadlocks, right? Only like a loincloth, doesn't really care about how he looks. That's a sadhu, right? Doesn't care about worldly affairs. The only thing he cares about is what is his internal life and what is his relationship with Krishna. So the question could be raised, why Prabhupada was kind of taking care of the way he looks, the way he's presenting himself? Because the way Prabhupada carried himself gave faith to others. So the reputation of Srila Prabhupada was actually giving faith to other people. Again, back to the memories, there was another devotee and he built the lotus temple in Vrindavan, right? Krishna Balaram temple. What was his name? Surabhi Prabhu. And this is interesting pastime, which Surabhi Prabhu was saying that Surabhi Prabhu was an architect, right? He was designer. And when Prabhupada started this whole India tour, when Prabhupada was kind of traveling around India, he was always instructing his disciples, behave in the proper way. Make sure you're following the culture and etiquette. Make sure you bow down like this. Make sure you eat like this. Make sure you have tilak like this. Make sure there's a separation between female and males. Why? Because culture of India demands it. And reputation of Srila Prabhupada was in his disciples. The reputation of Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya is carried by the Vaishnavas and by the devotees and disciples of Srila Prabhupada. So back to Surabhi Prabhu. And he mentioned that it was just such an interesting and funny story. One day Surabhi Prabhu was just met the devotees. Next day he met Prabhupada. And day afterwards, he got initiated. And day afterwards, he got instructed to build Krishna Balaram temple. So literally in the span of 4 days, you meet Guru, you get introduced to sadhus, and you are asked to follow Shastra in a span of 3-4 days. I mean, that's like far out for me to think about this. You receive your instruction from your spiritual master in a span of like 2-3 days, and you're initiated in a span of 3 days. That's just like mind-boggling. The way Prabhupada's purity of pure devotee functions, that in 3 days, Vaishnavas are in your life, scriptures are in your life, Guru is in your life, and instructions of spiritual master in your life, just like that, all of a sudden. It's very powerful. I'm finding it so interesting. So my point was that Prabhupada started introducing this young man, this young Surabhi Prabhu, to all these great personalities in India when Prabhupada was traveling. And he said, this is our architect. This is the architect of our movement. And this young boy, Surabhi Prabhu, was just meeting all these diplomats and politicians and all these great saints and these wealthy people in India. Young boy. So this is our architect. This person builds temples. And all these Indian-bodied devotees, they mean bowing down to him and say, yes, that's wonderful. So what a guru is doing is that he wants to build up reputation, not for himself, but because people have faith in people. Not always people have faith in God. That's why reputation is very important. That's why reputation of Krishna consciousness, devotees and Vaishnavas, is very important. So when you go on streets, when you distribute books, and when I have the fortune of being part of and are part of Sankirtan movement, is that when you present Srila Prabhupada's books or when you present literature, spiritual literature, and has been mentioned many times before, people are not always buying the book. They buy you. So you present yourself, you need to look in a certain way, you have to behave and you have to represent. People need to know that this is a Vaishnava. People have to know by your qualities and by your character, not by your tilak, not by the way that you know, wearing your dhoti. They need to know that this is a Vaishnava by a character. Right? As Vaishnavas, as devotees, we take many different udipans, which reminds us who we are. But the most strongest of all udipans is your character, is the way you carry yourself, is the way you present yourself. That's the strongest of all udipans. Udipan means something which reminds you, something which is like, let's say, udipan may be anything and everything which you associate. You put certain information or value on an object and that reminds you of something, right? Does it make sense? Do you know what udipan is? So let's say, I don't know, you see a lighter, right? For a karmi person, if a karmi person sees a lighter, what he remembers, he needs to smoke or something, right? But if a devotee sees udipan, lighter, he says, oh, this is for incense to offer to the Lord, right? So same tool, different udipans. I don't know, let's do another udipan. Let's do some book, right? I don't know. If a karmi sees a book, he says, okay, I need to prepare for my studies. If a devotee sees a book, oh, this is the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, I need to study Srimad Bhagavatam. Anything and everything could be an udipan, right? So back to the point. Respect, fame, status, symbol of strength, these are necessary qualities of a great leader. But in the modern day and age, as Prabhupada was saying, that the leaders are not even afraid of killing such offenseless animals. You can see that leaders in today's society, as Prabhupada was many times using the terminology, they are not following the rules and regulations of the Vedas. Basically, rascals, miscreants, mudas, and so on. But a true leader, if he wears the strength, power, opulence, respect, and fame as an ornament of his devotional service, that's okay. The six Goswamis, headed by Rupa and Sanatana, they establish the principles of utilizing anything and everything. And we're not only speaking about material acquisitions, we're not only speaking about material tools to be utilized for serving of the Lord, but also something subtle like fame, name, and glory, and adoration, right? It is always said devotees should avoid these things, fame, name, glory, and adoration. You should go away from these things. Prabhupada had fame. Prabhupada had glory. Prabhupada was adored. So what do you think about that? Fame, name, glory, and adoration can be also utilized in devotional service. Many great Vaishnavas are known in the higher echelons and higher circles of society. And what's the name? Ghanshyam Priyaprabhu, right? He's using his fame and reputation to preach to others. And that's a good. Whatever you have, whatever was given to you by guna and karma, you should utilize to serve the Lord. But you should be very much afraid of one point. One point is for certain. When you start thinking that this fame, name, glory, and adoration is towards me, not towards the abilities which I possess, which have been given to me by the Lord, that's a problem. That's when your downfall starts. Again, another pastime from Prabhupada's memories, from Shruta Kirti Prabhu. He was emphasizing that whenever you see a spiritual master, you should always bow down. And once Prabhupada was walking, and there was kind of a devotees waiting outside in front of Prabhupada's rooms. I don't know exactly where this was. And there was a group of devotees, and all of them bowed down except one devotee. And Prabhupada just stopped, looked at everyone, and he said to Shruta Kirti Prabhu, this is the beginning of his downfall. Simple thing, you just don't bow down. And this is what Acharya sees. This is beginning of his downfall. So the moment we start thinking that I mean something and I'm important, I have a lot of respect, fame, status, adoration, but it belongs to me, that's the beginning of our downfall. But if you think, yes, fame, name, glory, adoration, I have, but I utilize it for service of the Lord, and I don't care if tomorrow I lose it, if Krishna desires, that is what actually tranquility means. And this is what these kings of ancient days, what they actually been presenting. King like Maharaj Parikshit, Maharaj Yudhishthir, Lord Ramachandra, all of them, they've been utilizing this. Obviously, Lord Ramachandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All glories belong to him ultimately. But all of these subtle things, subtle acquisitions are just tools. And the great king is a great king if he's not attached to it. Right? So one interesting thing is that more powerful than wealth is actually name. Right? How much wealth you can carry with yourself these days? Yes, you have these plastic cards, right? But I just take my scissors and chop it like this and gone. All your wealth is gone. So in ancient days, the wealth means, you know, jewels, diamonds, pearls, marble, and many different things. But how much you can carry with yourself these days? You can't really carry much. But one thing you can always carry with yourself is your name, is your reputation. And as how they say, your reputation precedes you. Right? The Pandavas, when they've been in exile, they had nothing, literally nothing in their possessions. One thing they have, which was more powerful than anything, was their name. The way they've been behaving in front of others, and the strength of their predecessors, of their previous family members, that was always with them. So when the Pandavas, just before the time of the Battle of Kurukshetra, they went to different families all around the globe. They went to different kingdoms. And what they've been saying, this is what happened. This is what Duryodhana did to us. This is what Dhritarashtra did to us. This is how Kuru's dynasty been treating us. Now I ask you on behalf of my ancestors, fight for us. The kings were not asking, okay, what do you give me instead? What kind of a wealth you have? You have, at the moment, you have nothing. No kingdom belongs to you. You have no lands. You have nothing. What is there? Yudhishthira Maharaj was saying, my word. My word that when I will become a king, I'll rule righteously. That's what I have. So the word of a devotee is much of a much more greater value than wealth. So build yourself, build your character, and I'm speaking to myself. Build your character in such a way that your name means something. So when Rasaraj Krishna Prabhu comes and say, I'll be there, 1:30, that means something. It has to mean something. When someone said, this is what I will do, it means your name is what is of value. When Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was fighting over the dead body of Gaurakishore Das Babaji, he asked a question. The samadhi can be built in a temple, your selected temple, but only person who haven't had illicit connection with the woman in last 48 hours, 24 hours, in last 12 hours can touch body of my spiritual master. And the question they ask him, well, how do you know? He said, I will take your name for it. So your name is your true opulence. Your true opulence is the way you behave. And that's the true wealth of a Vaishnava. If someone comes and says, I will do this, I will not do this, I will, you know, carry this task. Your name is what actually is assurance. Does it make sense? So this is the wealth of Kshatriyas. And this is the wealth of Vaishnavas. So one of the things we can see in this purport is that the great two different poles. One is actually showing us how a true Vaishnava king is behaving. Another one is showing us what the modern leaders and rulers of the society, the way they're behaving. So what is the reason of creating a sin in the society? There are two kind of reasons. Lack of knowledge, lack of understanding the subtleties of action and reaction, and also which is connected to it, not having a proper vision. So in the ancient times, the kings, they've been trained in the knowledge of Krishna consciousness, in the knowledge of Vedas. So do you remember a few chapters ago, we've been discussing how Yudhishthira Maharaj had the vision of all these calamities happening in the kingdom. He saw with his vision that everything is start diminishing. The value of relationships, the value of the way the devotees and people treat each other is start diminishing. All these inauspicious nimittas, all these inauspicious omens being presenting themselves. So again, vision is very important. And what our leaders today are lacking? They're lacking vision. They're lacking spiritual vision. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Shri Gornitai ki. So as devotees, we should train ourselves to have a good and proper vision. To understand and to actually see what is good and bad for our spiritual life. Because in the end, it's not going to be about how much kind of material acquisitions we can take, but what is the character we have developed. You know, there's this great personality, his name is Chitragupta. Chitragupta, he actually takes care of all of the activities that we perform. He's at service of Yamaraj. So Chitragupta, he's got these massive books and files. And what he's doing, every single activity that you perform, good or bad, is actually, it's noted and is recorded. So the only thing you can actually take with you is that if this file of Chitragupta is actually empty, this is the interesting thing. Empty means there's no good, there's no bad, there's only spiritual. And spiritual has no material imprint as such. Spiritual imprint has a lot of kind of a good side effects, right? But this file should be empty. Only in that way you can go back to Godhead. If there is no good karma in your file of Chitragupta, and there is no bad karma in the file of Chitragupta. So King Maharaj Parikshit was ready to take action to protect the bull and the cow. And as the chapter will be progressing, we will see how this whole activity of Maharaj Parikshit will kind of reveal itself. And how he was protecting not only the cow and the bull, but he was also protecting the reputation of his predecessors. So one thing which I learned on book distribution is that even if people don't take a book, or even if they are very negative towards you, even if they are blaspheming you, just always be positive. Try to, keep it spiritual. Be nice and be humble with the people. Because actually happens a few times that even if one person was shouting at me, you just say, okay, no worries, thank you, have a lovely day, take care. And afterwards they come back and they actually apologize. And so what do you actually have? What kind of a books are you presenting? So the true strength is also reputation of the Sampradaya. So we're not representing only ourselves, but the moments we come into this ISKCON society, more importantly, we represent our spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada and the whole Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. So by our activities, our guru may be proud. There are many different types of preaching, many different types. One of the types of preaching is actually living by example. That's what Charya means, the one who leads with the example. So if you live your life and being good Vaishnava, that in itself creates great reputation for the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Yeah. Hare Krishna. I'm not going to speak any further. If there are any points, questions, devotees would like to share, please do. Purujan Prabhu. Can Purujan Prabhu have a mic, please?
Hare Krishna. Recently on the WhatsApp, there was a video of a devotee in America. He was saying what was happening in America. He was a doctor. And he gave the example that, what's his name? Donald Trump, is it? Is that what his name is? I can't remember. But anyway, he showed his nation that he was brave and didn't need all these protections and things like that, and it was shown on television. And what happened from that, he said, a disaster happened. They stopped wearing masks. The nation thought they were brave. They wanted to take on his example. And now there's an epidemic, huge epidemic. They can't control it. They lost it. And now the virus is spreading at epidemic proportions. And he said, with wearing a mask, he said, it was not a case of being brave and or not being brave. It was a case that when a mask is worn, he said, and I've been 2 years treating patients, I've been wearing a mask the whole time. And by, he said, Krishna's grace, I've been avoiding this. He says, with a mask, your protection is at least 95% increased. And, you know, to the thing. And then the odd proportion may happen otherwise, you know, by contamination of hands and so on and so forth. But he did point this out, that because of this, we could say, irresponsible act by a leader, by example, now it seems that America is facing a big crisis with this COVID. Irrespective of vaccines and whatever's happening, they opened a Pandora's box by trying to follow an example of a certain leader, and he said, now we're really suffering. So he's trying to put over to the devotees, actually, he said, protect yourselves, be sensible, look after yourselves. Because you're responsible not only for yourself, but for others around you. So he says, please bear this in mind. And it was an appeal, basically. And he did a complete description and the effects of what happens with the virus.
So what a great man do, common man follows.
Yeah, so his advice was, you know, basically, take the maximum protection that's available to you. Just utilize it.
Yes.
It's Krishna's thing. It's not a matter of being brave, not brave, or whatever. So, and this is what Krishna was trying to tell Arjuna. You just got to use what you've got, make it available, and utilize it for the good of others, Krishna. But it's Krishna that counts, not your immediate relatives or whatever, or the impression that you're going to make. It's a practical thing. So it was a very powerful delivery by this doctor from America, who's a devotee, you know, he's a devotee himself. So he was just trying to help us. Okay, thank you.
Hare Krishna. Any other points? Questions? Still have a few minutes.
You know, you mentioned about heritage in terms of
Prabhupada says, first deserve, then desire. Isn't it? Mm. So, Prabhupada gave the example, if you go to a rich person and you ask for a donation, he doesn't give it to you, you shouldn't be disturbed, because ultimately Krishna is not sanctioning for him to give the money to you or help you. He's not giving you the mercy. So as devotees, we should also, we try our best to help others in Krishna consciousness. But at the same time, we should be neutral, not to be disturbed, seeing that ultimately Krishna is sanctioning whether that person gets the mercy or not. We are just like postmen. So even a question was asked to Prabhupada one time by a reporter, that who's giving you the money? How do you get the money? And Prabhupada said, if Krishna wants you to give me the money, you'll have to give me the money. Mm. So ultimately we have to see Krishna within everything, and if we have that kind of vision, disturbance will not come to us. So even with this mask thing, I think there's certain rules that you have to keep certain distances, you know, like 2 meter distances and this and that. So if we follow these rules, then we'll be safe. Take shelter of the holy name, because the holy name cures all diseases.
Jai. Thank you, Srinivas. Any other points? Questions?
Vaishnava etiquette is part of the lecture you've given also, like how to carry ourselves, our character. Can you talk about the importance of reading the Vaishnava etiquette book, how it can help us?
Reading the Vaishnava etiquette book, I think it's part of the Bhakta program, right? There's whole one section which speaks about Vaishnava etiquette. So the moment you enter the temple, you are trained to follow Vaishnava etiquette. And I think throughout the whole experience staying in the Brahmacharya Ashram, there were definitely many, many instances when Vaishnava etiquette is just delivered to you. The different Vaishnavas would deliver the points of Vaishnava etiquette to you. So the Vaishnava etiquette is something which needs to be really, really, how do you say, ingrained in us, really, like we have to learn it. And I think devotees here in the temple are doing that job, that service substantially and nicely, that they give us opportunity to learn more and more about Vaishnava etiquette. And we should never be like, you know, emotional about it, upset that some devotee come. Oh yes, there is time, place and circumstances. But when you receive some kind of a correction, Prabhupada once said, devotees ask Prabhupada, what should a devotee do when he's getting chastised? He said, you should be laughing. So what do you mean by laughing? He said, it means that you're corrected for the benefit of your Krishna consciousness. You get corrected for the benefit of your further Krishna consciousness. So you should be happy about it. If you're not corrected, if no one cares about you, that's a problem. But if you get corrected, you should be happy about that. Hare Krishna. Hey. David Prabhu, last question and then we're done.
You mentioned in your class about Sri Prabhupada trying to act in a certain way to adhere to Indian culture. So my question is, if is that really that necessary now, and or do we just like go for like Vedic culture? What's the importance of that?
Very nice question. So basically, should we go for Vedic culture? Is that the question? If we would go for Vedic culture, I wouldn't be sitting here. Most likely you haven't been sitting here. Most likely there will be a lot of different alterations on the altar. If we go for the Vedic traditions, then there will be much more less devotees in ISKCON, 100%. If we will go for complete Vedic standards, then it will take you 2 hours to be on the in the bathroom to clean yourself properly. So what Acharya has a power, Acharya has a power to change things according to time, place, and circumstances. So we are not fully, we are following the Vedic rules and regulations, but more than that, we are Prabhupada Nugas, followers of Srila Prabhupada. And just as we are Rupa Nugas, we are Prabhupada Nugas. Because the Acharya has the strength and ability to alter certain Vedic things according to time, place, and circumstances. So we are followers of the Acharyas, and they present certain aspects of the Vedic culture which we may follow and have the capacity to follow, and which is beneficial for us to find Krishna consciousness and to establish Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you.
Thank you so much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Gaura Bhaktavrinda Ki Jai.